That was a good fade.
Yes. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Best of Five. My name is Elon. My apartment is extremely loud because there's fans everywhere, both from computers and from non-computers. So I apologize for the background noise. But joining me today, as always, are the most loyal cohorts and partners in crime and not so much crime I could ask for. We have John Velociraptor, the cat chaser, Guerrero.
That really stuck with me. Wow.
Sure did. And then we
have... just you. It stuck with you.
Oh, it will stick with me forever. Like glue. Speaking of glue, we have our very own main squeeze, Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek.
The man that holds the show together.
May I make one request?
Yes.
I would like to be introduced this week as the Kobe of esports.
Okay. All right, hold on. Here we go. We're bringing this. This is called a callback in comedy. And it only works if you were here like a month ago. Joined us today is a Steve Ace King Main Squeeze, the Kobe Bryant of esports, Offsuit Jurek. Thank you for joining us.
Steve. Thank you.
Tonight on the show, we actually have shit to talk about.
Ooh.
A lot has happened this week. But first,
is that our headline?
What's up?
Best of five episode, whatever. Shit to talk about.
Yeah, we got stuff. But before we do that, Steve, hit us with a recap.
No.
Okay. It was worth a shot. All right. So, let's just dive into these topics, and then we'll get into it. You know what? I want to talk about the Mortal Kombat reveal, because that shit just happened. And mm-hmm. I feel like we used to have our boy Paco Stevens in Ed Boon's ear trying to get them to send out information before our show, but this time he has failed us. Because Mortal Kombat released a trailer today. And it looks like they're going to have a big reveal of some sort tomorrow at 6 a.m. right after our show. Every fucking time. God damn it.
Well, at least we got to talk about the potential of it and that it's happening and that it looks like there might be three reveals or something like that going on. Mm. It didn't say that, but there's three shadowy figures in the trailer. Or whatever this is.
Yeah. I'm pulling it up now. So while I'm doing that, I'm going to extend the length of this sentence so that I can give myself time and then ask you guys to say some extended sentences about it before I pull it up.
I can say what Paco Stevens is saying in chat. He's saying that we can talk about the trailer to the trailer to the trailer.
Oh, dang. So this goes a couple layers deep, huh?
We're going trailerception. Jinx.
Bomb.
Well, dang.
Great minds.
Wait, okay, hold on.
I'm a great mind?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Here it is. I found it. There we go. All right, here it is. So this is... I probably should have put the overlay on it, huh? Yeah, all right, hold on.
Meanwhile, everybody in the chat say one nice thing about Steve.
Yeah, everybody in the chat do say one nice thing about Steve, please.
Don't do that.
I did the wrong thing again.
Don't do that.
Anyway, here's the poorly cropped
trailer. There was an attempt.
Off of Twitter. Oh, and it's moving. Whoops. Okay. Well, anyway, let's just get to the important shit. All right. So here
you've already got two shiny head shout outs.
Yep. So here is here are the three shadowy figures that are the teaser for this, right? So there's a lot of speculation going on about who these three characters are. We know, well, we assume one of them to be Shang Tsung because Raiden calls him out.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two others.
But isn't that character talking shit when they're coming in and it doesn't sound anything like Kerry Tagawa?
Raiden says Shang Tsung. You want to hear it? Here, I'll pull up the audio for it. Hold up.
Yeah, we should play it, yeah. But I'm saying one of them is saying something like, yo, Raiden, stop it. And it does not sound like Shang Tsung in this game, who is very particular and specific.
Okay, well, here's what it sounds like. Wait, let's back it up a little bit.
The but slaves under my power.
That didn't sound like anything. Hold on, let me turn it up a little bit.
I was gonna say I can't hear it, but I use Shang Tsung. Ed confirmed that was Shang Tsung. Interesting. But Shang Tsung changes. Okay.
Yeah. See, look, you could hear him.
I can't hear shit, but I believe you, and I just remember it not sounding like it. But if Shang Boone confirmed it,
all right, wait, hold on.
Yeah, he says Shang Tsung. I don't. Doesn't somebody yell something? Well, hold on. Yeah, one of the figures.
This. Listen.
Cease, Liu Kang. Before you doom us all, Shang Tsung.
Anyway, there you go.
All right, well, I still can't hear any of it, but I was imagining everybody else could. It's not even a factor anymore.
Okay, well, anyway, let me go back to, I know we haven't been on the screen, but let me go back to these three shadowy figures, because we're going to speculate the shit out of these. Anyway, here they are. These are the big three kahunas of, I guess, the new, well, first of all, I want to say this. It looks like, and I'm even going to say this on camera, first, 00 Tinja, 4 months in a row with that Twitch Prime. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Tinja.
Two more, and we get Steve to keep that main squeeze on his Twitter. But here's the deal. First, I don't think, have we ever seen a story DLC for Mortal Kombat or for Injustice?
I don't recall. It sounds familiar, but someone's going to know that.
The answer to that riddle is no.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay, good. No.
I don't know if this is a story DLC, but it sure feels like it, right?
Isn't that what it is? I thought that's what it was billed as.
It's what it looks like. I don't think. Well, actually, you know what? What does that say? Does it say, like, the Epic Saga continues?
Let me check eventhubs.com.
It does say the Epic Saga continues, so I believe this might be the first iteration. There we go. The first iteration of NetherRealm Studios' story of DLC. And we
wrote their story.
What?
Go ahead. They wrote their dicking around with time. It's perfect for this because now they can do as many of these as they like or as it work. But it's the perfect setup for an well of potential expansion with the story mode.
Absolutely. And the other, well of perfect
not
expansion.
That you would do it more than once, but
the other well of perfect expansion we have is 00 Tinja gifting a sub to Shay on 26. Shay on 26, you enjoyed those emotes. And Tinja, thank
one
you
more
for
to the main squeeze.
Thank you for your contribution to keeping Steve keep a nickname that I gave him just like a high school bully on his Twitter.
I've had worse. I've had I mean, we could go through it. I mean, I've been called Hetty Murphy.
I'm sorry.
Wait, now hang on. Is it the better the joke, the harder it hurts? Or is there a certain point where you go, that's fucking hilarious, and I'm kind of glad I'm part of this?
My reaction now, you know, being 36, is different than when I was like 11.
Sure.
When I was getting this. So I got Hetty Murphy. I got Albert Einstein. Shinosaurus Rex, I think.
Your head?
No. No. So this is because of alopecia. Like when I was like 5 or 6, I went through male pattern baldness in reverse. So I had like a halo of hair, and then it just disappeared by the time I was like 7.
Mm-hmm. And so,
I think I've got like one haircut in my life.
Me too.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and good on you. I'm sorry for
trying to imagine Steve with hair right now.
I'm sorry for laughing.
You just wear it so well.
It's okay. I actually, you know, when I first started going to tournaments, I bounced around a few different names.
Was Hetty Murphy were one two of them?
Hetty Murphy was one of them. Albert Einstein. And the last hairbender.
I almost, you know what? I think the Albert Einstein is kind of a missed opportunity because it should definitely be Albert Einstein.
I think Albert Einstein just flows a little bit better.
It has the, I think it has the right placement of the punchline, something like that.
Exactly.
At the very
exactly.
end.
Exactly.
I guess. All right.
Anyway. So the answer to my question earlier, though, was absolutely yes, because you use these as your tournament handles. It became a celebration. It's a fun end of the story. My last name was Cox up until seventh grade, COX, and I was overweight at the time. So elementary and middle school were fun for me.
I'm sorry. There's only one direction that I can go.
So did you your last name changed specifically because your last name was Cox?
No, because my parents actually weren't married when I was born. So my mom actually gave my sister and I her last name, which is Cox. But when they got married somewhere when I was in seventh grade, I took my dad's last name, which actually was that was cool. I was glad to kind of do it.
Word. Good shit.
Yeah.
Speaking of good shit.
Much what? More wholesome than my stuff.
Okay. Well, anyways, after this ridiculous tangent, let's go back to this Mortal Kombat trailer, shall we? Let's speculate.
Oh, yeah, Mortal Kombat.
So here are three figures. We have what looks like to be Shang Tsung in the middle. Now, a lot of, like, the majority of Twitter has been saying that this is going to be two already existing characters, so this isn't going to be a character reveal. Right? So people are saying one of them will be Sindel and the other one's Nightwolf. I disagree. What do you guys think?
The Nightwolf wouldn't have anything to do with these guys, right? If that was the, no, that's what's the fine. Look, there's we know nothing about this. It could be that none of these figures are indeed new characters. That would be dumb on NRS's part, though, because the way they've set this up and the way gaming culture works right now is this looks like a character announcement, and you're going to get everybody excited for that. And no, you didn't say it, and Boone likes the troll, but at this level, it's kind of you're gonna lose a little charisma if you do that. So that's why I say I don't think it'd be a smart call. We don't know what this is, though. Like, it could just be an addition to the story mode. So I think that if we're moving forward, what we want to do is speculate as to if this could be additional character content. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then who these might be hints at. But maybe we want to talk about it in terms of it just being more story mode content. I mean, I don't know where you go from there or where the hype is for that. I mean, I guess that's cool for the casual crowd and like, yeah, the stories, well, they have the best one.
Here's the thing too, though. With story content coming out, this is setting, like, this is NRS kind of breaking their regular schedule, right? Because they usually have the big game, they have, like, you know, combat packs with DLC characters, and then they move on to the next game. But if they're doing something as big as, like, a story DLC, then it sounds like they're planning on supporting this game for a little while longer.
Well, they broke their schedule with Mortal Kombat 11's release, too, didn't they?
They did not.
Wasn't it a little later, like a year? No, it was later.
They only announced it later because I think they probably broke a deal. And this is all speculative. I don't know for sure, but I feel like they broke a deal with the Game Awards to announce it for the first time at that instead of at E3.
But was when it actually came out, was April supposed to be the time?
Yeah, that's usually
where this kind of stuff happened.
Yeah,
and it wasn't a year later or anything like that? It was on the same schedule?
It typically works out where Combo Breaker / UFGT is like the first big event for that game. It was that way with MKX. It was that way with Injustice 2. And it was that way with MK11. So, the other thing to keep in mind with expectations, really, is that this right now is when we're going to start feeling the delays of content, of character packs, of anything like that, due to the global pandemic. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's that little bit of stretch time where, okay, most of the work was done in January, February, so you'll still see it soon. But now we're hitting the time where, yeah, that stuff's getting delayed. So we don't know how big this is going to be. We don't know how much follow-up there is going to be. So maybe it's a good idea to temper expectations right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the same time, while tempering expectations is good and healthy, I love overanalyzing shit and really looking at it. So here's what I want. I want the three of us to, by look, give our best guess as to who these three characters are.
All right, put it back on the screen.
All right.
Please.
So we'll start with John.
So
John,
we already heard that Shang... I read this from the chat, but I hear that Shang was confirmed to be the person that they're talking to, and like legitimately that character. I mean, Raiden says Shang Tsung and everything.
Yeah, it's the middle one.
Okay, so that's Shang Tsung. So we're not really worried about that one.
Yes.
Who has like this bow or sword on their back? You got to think like maybe was it Takeda?
Ooh,
and it's like, where is the story coming from? I have no idea, though. Like, I'm thinking, like, where you would want to do right now is, like, a Quan Chi and Melina. I think that would be home run. They would be home runs right now. But I don't see anything here that tells me one thing or another. Mm-hmm. Except for that, like, silhouette of the what could be a sword or a bow. Mm-hmm. Something maybe going on around the waist of the far left one. What's up, Steve?
I think Kenshi is not a terrible guess for the one on the right.
Yeah, not bad.
For the one on the left, I know it's wrong, but I'm hoping it's Melina, just so everyone on Twitter can shut up about please Jesus add Melina Christ. To the game. That's the only reason I want to see Melina added.
Like,
that's it. I don't care except for that.
Like that whole like still waiting meme that is floating around is like the stupidest fucking thing, and everybody hates it except for those people who are doing it.
Dude, the when's Melina thing has to be just for the sake of the meme at this point, isn't it?
I don't think everyone wants
Melina that hard.
Oh, I feel no. like hold up. Oh, I feel no. like it started from a genuine place, and now it's just
yes
a fucking meme.
Now it's just the thing trolling you.
Yeah.
John, back when I wrote for TechnoWorldTour.com, whenever mm-hmm. I would post an article about the pro tour of the game has nothing to do with development, 80% of those articles would have some sort of response asking for Melina or Julia to be added to Tekken 7. Like, mm-hmm. the people who love their characters love their characters. And the people who love Melina, some of them are kind of, you know, doing it for the joke. But there's a core there that loves Melina, that desperately wants to see her back in the game.
Yeah, they desperately want to like... see her back.
Well, that too.
That's you
know,
it.
certain assets that can be uploaded into certain programs to create certain animations.
Why did Melina take off and not Katana?
Because Katana's
popular, sure, but no, I mean, why did Melina become this, like, immortalized, the character you have to have in Mortal Kombat? Oh. Like, I don't think the same
would be. I know exactly why.
And she's cooler.
Because she had that really risque outfit in Mortal Kombat 9.
Is that it? Like, I really do think it could be that Melina has been more sexualized.
Yep.
And people have learned to expect that from her.
Yeah, she had a really bizarre outfit in Deception. She had that really creepy outfit in Mortal Kombat 9. So, yeah, Melina is, like, I think the most sexualized of the three sisters. Maybe Jade kind of fit into that as well.
Jade's never... But Melina's, like, evil Juri sexual, too. Juri from Street Fighter. Like, she's just all about the... and has been. That really might be it. Because she's been doing that in Fatalities for a couple games now. Dude, that's so.
Yeah, I mean, Sonya kisses people when they blow up.
Sonya's the virgin, though. Melina's the vamp. Everyone likes the vamp.
Yeah. Sonya's well, anyway.
The virgin? What?
As far as like the light and the dark, the old, not that she's like legit a virgin, but that she plays the virgin role compared to Melina, who's very much on the other side. Shalinya's a good guy and she's got morals and such. Melina will fucking eat anything.
Okay.
I'm not touching that one.
I get what you're saying. I don't know if I want to go down this road. So go. Cool.
Yeah, I'm not touching it.
Anyways, I don't think it's Melina in there, but I think they should release her.
I feel like with all of this outcry for Melina, it gives the NRS team more reason to not put her in. And I think Boone has said that on Twitter as well. And yeah, Boone troll, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But anyway. Okay, so Steve, I agree with you, and I think we were talking right before the show, and I told you that that's Kenshi on the right.
Yeah. But why is he walking with Shang Tsung?
Could be a revenant.
I mean, you really can't use the story. Yeah, it's so lame though, because like it doesn't, based on the way that anything can happen in these fighting game stories, because just like whatever. So there are revenants, or maybe people flip flop on sides and such, and it's like we can't use the story very effectively. You know, and it's like Shang Tsung isn't going to have like two right-hand man types that we can go like, oh, well, if it's Shang, then it's probably Bebop and Rocksteady. You know, it's like we don't – it could be anyone.
Now, here's the thing, too. If you notice the person on the left – oops. If you notice the person on the left, they have a different kind of effect than the others. Like, you could see their arm is kind of like disappearing into the light a little bit more. And they are it's super squiggly that the other characters don't have.
I don't think that's a thing. Where? Like just the entire aura?
Yeah, the person on the left looks a little bit different. Now, what this leads me to think is this. Smoke. Because if he's got like that... Because if he's got... First of all, it's human smoke because he's got like the Lin Kuei chest, right? Like he's got the vest with the fucking zoot suit looking thing. And you can see the difference between his head and Shang. Like with Shang Tsung's head, you could tell that that's long hair. With Kenshi, you could tell that he's got like something on his head, right? That I'm assuming is the headband. But on the left, you can like it's very difficult to see what's going on in there. And because he has that like weird aura going on, I honestly think that's going to be smoke. Somebody saying Nightwolf in the chat. People were saying it was Nightwolf on the right. That's not right.
What if it's Fujin and that's wind?
Could be.
Like little wind gusts.
Could be. This person also has something on the left side of their hip, or are they carrying?
Yeah, that's definitely something like on their hip.
Is he but see, here's the thing with Nightwolf, he has two axes. This person's only carrying one.
It's not Nightwolf. That's silly.
Yes, I agree. So this person's carrying what looks to be like a hammer. So it might be Shang. No, that's not Shang. What's his name? Shao Kahn.
Is it in the character's hand?
Whoops.
Kind of looks like a pickaxe. Yeah, he's definitely carrying, or she's definitely carrying a. It's like an axe thing.
Yeah. So
this is so well done. It's like you're not. Oh my gosh! Like these animations, are like find these little tiny things, but only if you play this game of like going real slow.
Oh yeah. Sick. Look, we've all been like starving for some shit to talk about, so we gotta do it.
Well, it's not like anything else happened this week.
Well, that's not true. But no, it's crazy. Somebody's saying it's booze, so it's Boraicho. but for real though, I can't remember what weapon Smoke used in the older games.
He and Scorpion both had these like
it's Trunks fork, level 100 Charizard got it.
Okay, no, they both had these like kind of spiked mace things that. They only appeared, this is like Mortal Kombat 3 and Trilogy and such, but they only appeared when they did like their punch combos. from what I recall. And it wasn't even a weapon that the character used. It was just part of an animation. And I don't know if they've ever even come back since then, because then Scorpion got a sword and Smoke kind of faded in and out.
There's something else I just thought of. They're coming through a portal, and since the portal is all fire, I'm assuming they're coming from the Netherrealm. So,
yeah, I thought of that too.
So this could be two characters who are already dead and are in the Netherrealm. And Shang Tsung's...
Well, now Nightwolf sounds kind of okay because he's carrying like a tomahawk.
Yeah, but he's got two. He doesn't have only one.
Why would
you lose one?
Why would you put this... Yeah, that's true too. Why would you put just all the same characters, do a silhouette tease, and have it not be some kind of a hint for new content?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm perfectly fine with it not being new characters if there's new story. Because, like, dude, I love the fucking Mortal Kombat story. I'm eating that shit up. Granted, I didn't play
the Ronda Rousey part.
Yeah. There's what?
I said, as long as the Sonya Ronda Rousey is not involved in the scene, like speaking, then it's fine.
Oh, whatever. That didn't bother me as much as other people. I think people are being too harsh. But anyway, that's beside the point. Now, a lot of people were speculating that the person on the right is going to be Ash from Ash vs. Evil Dead because of all the crazy leaks before. And the fact that like his right arm kind of looks super stiff.
You could
make that argument, but I don't think it's a good one.
Yeah,
it's as Steve would say, it's like taffy.
I don't think it's that much of a stretch. It's not John level stretch.
That is true.
I'm waiting for Efren to appear in the chat before I bring this up.
But yeah. Anyway, okay, so, all right. From left to right, I want you all to give your honest guess as to who these characters are. Obviously not the middle, because we know that's Shang Tsung. So, John, character on the left first. Who do you think that is?
Fujin.
Fujin? Okay, character on the right?
I would like it to be Kenji. Or Kenshi, and not the other swordy dude. So Kenshi is who I want it to be.
Okay, dope. Steve, character on the left.
I'm going Melina.
Melina?
Just why not? I'm probably wrong. And then on the right.
Okay, yeah.
And then on the right, I am going with Kenshi.
Kenshi, again, cool.
Probably wrong.
All right. I'm going left.
What if there's two guest characters?
Oh, like one of them is Arnold Schwarzenegger,
and Michael Myers, and yeah, whatever. Yeah.
same thing. Now that's only a reference that people playing MK11 are gonna get.
Kevin, one of them would have to be Ken Bogard.
Ken Bogard,
by law of the rule that he has to be the guest character in every game.
Yeah,
male, female, doesn't matter. You're getting some Ken.
Okay.
Now,
my
Terry.
My
Did
guess...
I say Ken Bogard? I said Ken Bogard.
Ken Bogard.
Okay.
We don't understand. You met my...
Terry Bogard.
I am done.
Steve, can you imagine my in Mortal Kombat?
I can, actually. I don't think it's as big of a stretch.
Ken Bogard, the French commentator. But no, my guesses are left is... Sorry, on left is Smoke, right is Kenshi. It's not Nightwolf, and here's why. I will disprove Nightwolf for once and for all. Nightwolf has two axes. The character on the right only has one giant thing on his back. The character on the left only has one whatever the fuck they're carrying is. Honestly, the best argument for Nightwolf is the character in the middle, because he's got the two knives coming out of his back pockets, but that's Shang Tsung.
Yeah,
unless Shang Tsung's, unless this is a complete misdirection, unless this is a complete misdirection, and Shang Tsung ain't even in the shot, but he's somewhere in the room, and they didn't tell us.
No, but it's like you could maybe be like, who would Shang Tsung be hanging out with that like he goes way back with, and would be coming in with, you know, like, hey, I just brought these guys to help us deal with whatever's going on. Like something like that. Shinnok and Quan Chi or something.
Shang Tsung can resurrect people and make them evil.
I thought that was Quan Chi.
Same thing.
All right.
But if somebody said Kung Jin and Takeda, maybe. But we'll see tomorrow at 6 in the morning. Damn it.
I don't think people would be very excited for those two. I think they kind of flopped in MKX. No, Takeda and the two newbie didn't. Like, people love Jackie and they loved Cassie Cage. But the other ones, I was like, yeah, kind of.
Okay, hold on. So Ultra David's saying one of them looks like Ferator or Goro. Who?
What? He had himself a liquid lunch. Where he's trolling. I'm with the way life is right now, I'm not discounting either one.
Although I will say this, I do miss Ferator. I thought that character was sick. But anyway, that's the Mortal Kombat teaser. The trailer. Now I'm seeing the trailer announcing probably another trailer. Do we have anything else to say on this NetherRealm peek? Sneak peek?
I don't think so.
All right. Let's get to... All right, let's just dive into... You know what, since we're in the announcement section, let's go ahead and say it. Big day today for some fighting game teams for sponsorships and for players and for teams. PG announced a slew of hires, both for their player roster and as actual employees. Most notably of which includes PG Punk, now back with Panda Gaming. The return of PG Punk. PG Punk. PG Punk's back. Kizzy K going over to Panda Gaming, which is awesome.
Congratulations.
I'm happy.
Congratulations,
for him.
Kizzy.
I'm very happy for him. And then the Smash player, what's it, IBCW?
IBDW.
BDW. I was close. But yeah, so all three of them are getting picked up by Panda Global, making the big moves, along again with a slew of other employees.
Yeah, Juggle Rob got picked up as well.
Cool.
Lead organizer of Big House, one of the biggest Smash tournaments of the year.
Dang.
So, congratulations to everybody.
Yep. Also today, Justin Wong announced that he is re-signing his sponsorship content with ASUS, Republic of Gamers. So congrats to Jay Wong. Keep him working and keeping those brands in light in the eyes of the FGC. I think that's always a good thing when we can get more eyes in the FGC from a corporate standpoint. So good shit, Jay Wong. Still making moves.
Especially right now when it's going to be tougher to... get your name out via tournaments.
Yep.
You know, content creation is where it's at. It's where it's been for a while. Mm-hmm. But if you weren't on that train before, it's catch it because it's leaving the station.
Yep. And then and something else happened, which I didn't think was going to happen, but I'm happy it did. Some of you may have missed this, and if you didn't, good shit. If you did, it's okay. A lot of other people missed it. But there was a big old Twitter blow up over a money match in Tekken 7. There was a first to 25. Now, here's the thing. I didn't watch the match itself, but just watching the events unfold on Twitter, fucking hilarious. There was a big old money match, first to 25 in Tekken 7 between Pokechop, the boy Pokechop, and Big Majin. Not Little Majin, Big Majin. So they ran a first to 25 set. Now, I'm not going to tell you how it ended, but I will tell you what the tweets were. They announced this first to 25 was happening. A lot of back and forth going. The match happened. all of a sudden I see this 5-minute video on Twitter from PokeChop saying, yeah, I talk a lot of shit, but I'm humble. And then it's him saying, like, if it was offline, it would have gone differently. So, and apparently they're trying to set up another first of 25 when we're allowed to get back together. But man, watching, and that started a whole conversation of the value of money matches and grudge matches for the FGC, which I feel like we haven't seen. I think the last actual money match I think I saw, like, that was, like, quote unquote big, was when I'm Still the Daddy bets did a money match with Smug for $1,000 at Evo 2017, and then he lost a lot and had to pay up, which was funny, and he was super cool about it.
Was it 2017 or 2018?
2017. Actually, it might have been 2016. Okay. No, it was 2017.
I don't think it was 16.
Yeah.
2017. Yeah, because that was the last Evo I went to. Sad times. Speaking of, by the way, I still haven't gotten my refund check from the Hilton over for Combo Breaker. They told me it was going to be about a month, so they still got a couple of days. Now, speaking of cancellations and hotel refunds and Evo, we finally got the announcement. It finally happened. It's another one of those, we see it happen and we go, ah, man, that's unfortunate, but it makes sense. So as of, what was it? It was like mid last week, or was it over the weekend? I forget exactly.
It was Friday.
Friday, okay.
Friday.
So as of Friday, Evo is now canceled with a caveat. So Evo is canceled. Everybody is getting their refunds. Everything is getting shut down. Sad times all around. However, there was a big old addendum to this. And it is that they are taking the biggest tournament in esports, as said by Panda. Not Panda Gaming, but Panda X Gaming. Jonathan Otone of the former Panda X Gaming and now the Arlington Esports Stadium, the biggest esports stadium in North America. The biggest esports tournament of the year is taking place online.
I mean, they're going to try.
There is a lot to unpack. Before we get into that, though, can we talk a little bit about, you know, the loss of Evo itself?
Yeah.
Because this one hurts. I mean, not just personally, but from a scene perspective, Evo is the one time a year where everyone in the esports world looks at our games, looks at our little corner of the world. Mm-hmm. So in terms of exposure, in terms of getting new blood, new people into the field, like, Capcom Cup is great. Tekken World Tour is great. And they all have a place. But Evo is something, it's like the Olympics. In that, yeah, there are other, if you like an individual game, there are other competitions that you know about. But this is the one spot where you could see all of the games played at the absolute highest level. And that not having that hurts.
Yeah,
it's like curling. We're like the curling of the FGC or of the esports world, where people only really see us during the Olympics.
Yeah, that's not all, too far. You know,
we have our faithful following.
Yeah, here's the thing too. I remember,
everyone knows what it is now.
Yeah, I remember us having this discussion about how Evo was some people's like one trip a year, like that was their one venture into the FGC per year, and that's all they could do. They had to save up their money. And to hear that your one trip for the year that you do every year that you save up for getting canceled hurts. I feel like I had that with Combo Breaker, because Combo Breaker was going to be my one, and then it got canceled, unfortunately.
Dude, I bet people are pretty happy to get that chunk of change back in their pockets right now, though.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, it's only like pre-fees, though, right? It's like $150, probably, maybe a couple hundred.
It depends.
But still.
It depends. Some people pay full price to book their hotel in advance, which is what I did. And I'm still waiting to get my fucking money back. But yeah, man, it's so, but here's the thing too. Let's look at it. Let's look at this from both sides of the coin. It's unfortunate that we're still dealing with this whole thing and shit's fucked up enough that we had to cancel Evo. Yes, it's sad. However, I feel like this is such a unique opportunity. Yes, netcode sucks. Yes, online is ass. I agree. But everybody can participate in Evo now. I don't know how they're going to do it to the point where like international matches are going to be playable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that anybody who has a PlayStation 4 and Street Fighter 5 can now enter the biggest online or the biggest tournament in the world.
Well, and strong enough internet to pass the standards.
Yes. I think that can be a good thing. Right? Like,
I was trying to figure out positives about this, and that's the only one that I could come up with, is that like everybody has a chance to go to Evo now.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's like, imagine, you know, somebody who does want to go to Evo, but physically or financially or mentally or emotionally or spiritually can't. Now they get that opportunity, if it's only just once, right? And the other thing, too, is I feel like this is going to start kind of opening up the netcode conversation to people other than just the competitive players. And I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a good way for the developers who aren't so in tune with the competitive community to see how the netcode is affecting players when they play online. Now,
I think standards are naturally going to get to rise because people are going to realize it, or it's going to be a lot of people that already or that don't have a preconception of it and are just fine with it, and this becomes the new norm.
Yeah, I think here's the thing: is online Evo going to be a miserable experience? Probably not entirely. Is it going to be the best experience? Probably not entirely. And I don't mean that as in a dig at Evo or a dig at anything. It's just the nature of playing fighting games online, right, with the net codes that we have for the big games. But I feel like Evo is one of those, like Steve said, it's the one time a year where we get those attention. We get that attention. Whether it be from people who aren't involved in the FGC or whether it be from, you know, the gaming industry at large, right? Like developers or even like just people who are employees within the gaming industry are now seeing this because it's known as the biggest esports tournament in the world. So it's going to be a good thing because the experience is not going to be great. And that's going to be an eye opener for a few people, I believe. That's my very optimist look at it. I understand that it is very optimist, and it's probably, I could be completely wrong, and it could be like the worst thing to ever happen to fighting games. But I don't, there's a very big part of me that doesn't think so.
Why Godzilla, spent some money on, or spent some, whatever it is, points on highlighting this, so I want to read it. He says, developers didn't care before. They will not care now. American internet is awful, on the exception that you have fiber.
Well, here's the thing. And I'm going to bring this up, hopefully not to derail the conversation. But with this announcement, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I saw Mr. Wizard announcing that there were going to be some changes to the lineup because of this. Am I wrong?
I mean, did I dream that? I think we would have known that. I don't think so.
Yeah, because part of me thinks I dreamt that, but I'm pretty sure I saw it.
We would know if that would be huge news.
So the closest to that end that I've been able to see is Tom Cannon, who, in response to someone saying that calling this online event Evo 2020 would, quote, be discrediting your own tournament, end quote. Tom said, the intent is not at all to port a traditional Evo to online and pretend it's the same. It's going to be a different kind of event. Eager to share more, we just need to button up some loose ends, end quote. So it is going to be a different experience. Mm-hmm. Will the lineup be different? That makes sense. I mean, how many... Like, I don't think you'll necessarily take out other games.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're no longer limited by the physical space. You know, obviously, time and space are the two biggest constraints that you have when you have a tournament. Time is a lot easier to deal with now that a bunch of stuff can happen at the same time. Space is no longer a concern. So, yeah, they can run stuff online. You know, my question is, John, I know that Catalyst wrote an article about what we should expect out of this. Would you be able to kind of summarize it for the peeps here?
Yeah. Yeah. The headline of it's Evo 2020 online tournament results should be on par with the offline tournament results of the past. So essentially, I think the claim here is that it's not going to be as big of a thing as people think it is to have this online in terms of who floats to the top and who wins. Saying that players like Tokido and Fudo are going to be, you know, among the best and the finalists in the Street Fighter realm, right? And the same should go for any other game. And this is based mainly on more recent events that have been doing this, like the Quarantine Series for Smash Ultimate. This has had over 5,000 people sign up to compete, and the results of Cosmos, DaBuzz, and 8-Bit Man finishing high mirror those of other major offline events. This and then he also uses the Next Level Battle Circuit weekly online results, saying that Knuckledoo and Idom regularly place in top 8, even though Shine was the one to take the most recent one of these. So basically, he's saying that this isn't going to truly stop the better players, the pros, from continuing to win. I don't really agree. That's me. I think that there's a... Well, you had a response to this, though, and you were going to say it on the show, so I'm kind of intrigued, and I want to know what you think.
Well, what I was going to say to that is this. Winning a tournament online takes talent. You know, Trashbox just passed 1 million points in Street Fighter this past week, I believe, or maybe just a little over a week ago. Trashbox is a really, really freaking good player. He does well online. He does well offline. You look at other games, players like Cool Kid. You know, you do well. The skills that it takes to win online, a lot of them translate to winning offline because it's the same base game. But here's what I would say to saying that the results are on par. It's a different scenario. You know, if you run a tournament offline first to two, you're going to get a certain set of results. If you run that same tournament first to one, you'd get different results. First to three, first to ten. Whenever you're changing how the match is played, or, you know, what, you know, whether it's the length of the matches or whatever, you're measuring a slightly different skill set. When you're going from offline to online, different things are rewarded. Different things are punished. It's a different mindset, so you're measuring a different skill set. Not necessarily a wholly different skill set. So we will see a lot of the players who are good offline will do well here. But it's a different type of tournament. It's a different type of environment. So I can't – it takes talent, and whoever wins should be rewarded and should be recognized as a good player. But I just – I hesitate saying it's on par because it's like apples and oranges.
Yeah.
But isn't somebody who is quote unquote a professional at doing something, somebody who's doing it at quote unquote the highest level, shouldn't they be able to perform even when certain variables are taking place?
Well,
not when the variable is you dropped your combo because sudden lag comes in. It's like, yeah, there is an art to being able to play around, you know, the kind of different, or playing through the different atmosphere that is online. Mm-hmm. You're going to, like, it changes the risk and reward of certain moves just because it hinders people's reaction times, right? And so you're naturally going to be able to do more risky moves with nerfed risk to them. And then, so therefore, you know, better reward. And playing in certain ways is going to be more beneficial more often that don't translate, you know, basically testing people's reactions.
I would say that, you know, you talk about players being professionals. The way we've measured professional players and recognized pro players, even though we don't really have that distinction in the FGC as much as it exists in other esports, the way we've measured this is by what they do in our premier events. And those have been almost entirely offline to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, you can expect those players to do well, but saying they should just adapt to, you know, a different circumstance, the circumstance is a different one from what they're being, completely different from what they're being judged on, what they're, the standard that they're, you know, judged against as a quote-unquote pro player.
Here's my devil's advocate response to that is, isn't the fact that you're traveling to a different place, entering a different tournament with the possibility of a different setup, a different monitor, a different overall atmosphere, isn't that also a way of having to adapt to shit?
No, that's absolutely true. There are players who do really well locally that, you know, going international is a skill set, mm-hmm. you know. Being able to adapt your body to a different time zone to put yourself in a position where you can succeed when you're seven, eight time zones ahead of where you normally are, or 7-8 time zones behind where you normally are. Mm-hmm. That takes skill. That takes practice. That takes a mindset to be successful. So it's not, you know, you're right in that, yeah, that takes adapting to. This also takes adapting.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, we haven't had as much practice making this adaptation
right.
as someone like Daigo has had, you know, traveling internationally, because we've been doing that for 10 years,
yep.
you know, 10, 15 years. We haven't held Evo-sized tournaments online for more than like 3 months.
We accept, though, certain bits of chaos to come through and affect the outcome of the game, right? Like things like the influence of the crowd, maybe stuff like that. Or like, you know, if you're at a baseball game, it could be that the sun gets in your eyes, stuff like that. Like there's no way of completely having these all be executed in a vacuum. But there is a fairly clear line where we're not accepting what we're trying to do. Once this line is crossed, what we're trying to do, the outcome of it no longer means as much to us because it's no longer an accurate measurement, in this case, of two people's skill at doing this particular thing. It's like if it's football and one of the balls is even just slightly deflated, well, even though they got away with it, right? But technically, it was a big deal, and you would go, if that were the case, then these kind of things aren't valid, and we're not okay with that, and we're going to really measure things like that that are under our control and say, it has to be this way. And we know that, you know, there has to be, you can only ever have 11 players on the team or on the field at one time, things like that, you know? And to say that, well, like, okay, but that sometimes we're going to give, like, one player the ability to teleport just a short distance. It's like, as soon as that happened in a football game, you'd go, well, this whole thing is upside down. Like it's no longer a valid thing because it passes that level or that line of chaos. And I think with what it is now, the transition from offline to online and the type of potential chaos that that brings, the fact that it can legitimately stop you from executing your combo, and really the only thing that we find is valid is the thing that stopped you from executing your combo was you. That can be the only thing. Otherwise, it's like, it's not fair. If we pause one of these games, it's like you forfeit the round automatically. Just a single pause. Like, we're not okay with that. That passes the level of chaos that we're allowing. So, you know, if we're not okay with pauses as things are right now, we're very much not going to be okay with the chaos that going online brings. And it's no longer going to represent that which we're hoping to, like, the answer to the question that we're asking. So we have to change our expectation, or online needs to get better. But yeah, I think that's where we're at right now.
I think, you know, the sad part is this, that sort of mindset, you know, it's one that a lot of us hold because, yeah, basically for the entirety of the FGC's history, the goal of online play was to get to offline play. You know, you know, there's that idea that, okay, you do it online, that doesn't count for the reasons you talked about. Let's see what happens when we meet up at Evo, or we meet up at Next Level, or NCR, what have you. That really sucks for players who will break through. Because imagine if this was how Arslan Ash got introduced to the world, by playing online. Because guess what? He's a really, really good player. You wouldn't expect a player from Pakistan to be good, like at least you wouldn't 2 years ago, to be able to beat these players. And if you see that result in a vacuum, you think, oh man, you know, it's only because it's online. But remember, players like Knuckledew, players like Punk, they established themselves online. And they got that crap of, oh, you're just winning because it's online. Let's see what happens when you go offline. Guess what? They did pretty damn well when they went offline. There are so many good players who will have an opportunity like this. And like I tried to say earlier, if you do well at this tournament, you should be recognized as a good player. That's not gonna be what the takeaway is, unfortunately. If someone has that big weekend, if someone makes that deep run, you know, it, like Cool Kid did a couple years ago. He did that, like, oh man, what a great performance. He is awesome. If he did that in this online tournament instead, everyone would just chalk it up to, oh man, just scrub.
Not everyone. It would be the people that think that way, which there is allowed, probably a majority, and I think for good reason. But there are, I'm sure, plenty of people out there that also would see it as, hey, no, that's legit. I think like someone like Catalyst would say, that's legit. I think it's also two different skills at a certain level to be good and efficient online and then make that transition and be good and efficient offline. And it could just be that these players are really good at adapting to the atmosphere they play in, which is a really strong and like that's one of the strongest kind of tools you can have in your pocket. And you're right. Online is a great way of breaking people into the community, giving people opportunities, and more online play, and Evo being this big, is going to present that kind of an opportunity to those players. But I don't think that changes the fact that what you're doing when you play online is different than what you're doing when you play offline in a significant way to the majority of the FGC and how we consume and view fighting games right now and traditionally.
It is a different experience. I just hope that people who see this keep in mind that, hey, you know, it's probably not Cax Blastered on the other side. It's probably not someone with the lag switch. A player who goes through a 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 person tournament, however big this online Evo is going to be for the particular game, you have to be really good to make that deep of a run. So your talent should be recognized.
And the other thing is, like, as we move toward this, like, wanting to do this more and being okay with online, or at least exploring it, not every match that's played online plays out differently than it would offline. Like sometimes you have lagless matches, you know, and or at least you could imagine that there would be the exact same play out, even if there might be a hiccup or something like that, but it's not at a significant place. And otherwise it's super smooth. And if you're consistent online, maybe you have to be a little more consistent than you would be offline. But at some point you're going to pass a line where people go, dude, the guy's good or the girl's good. Like they win consistently. And even with this chaos of lag, it's like, it can't be hitting every single game they play and they're still winning. So there is a line you could probably pass with online performance to say that people are like, well, no, you're pretty good.
Yeah. And that's a lot easier to do when the game when the online experience is close to the offline experience through the quality of the netcode. If, you know, the online tournaments at, you know, for Mortal Kombat 11 are pretty much the top eights you find there are pretty much in line with what you'd find offline. KI, I talked about that with the build-up to the KI World Cup. Player like Water Horses, built up their reputation through playing online. And when they got to offline, people already knew how good he was because the offline experience and the online experience was so close. With a game like Tekken 7, with a game like Street Fighter 5, with Granblue, where the online and offline experience doesn't have that level of parity, it's going to be a different experience.
But it's getting better. And I think that people will give, the more we do this and the less that people legitimately have reactions when they finish playing in tournaments to saying something like it was the lag, and the less that comes up and the more tournaments that happen, the better online gets. We'll have a little bit of a leash for how much lag we'll tolerate and we'll be okay. And that will go up, I think, a little bit. And the more that this, like I said, more tournaments that happen, less discussion of the lag, it will become more of a tolerated thing across the board. And I think ultimately we'll find a spot where we're good with it and it just becomes the norm because it's so damn convenient.
As an aside, can we pour one out for, well, pour one out is probably the wrong phrase, but the biggest loser in all this, in my opinion, is Granblue Fantasy Versus. Mm-hmm. This game, it just released at the worst possible time through no fault of their own. Because guess what? When they came out, hey, we're going to have a whole bunch of offline tournaments. Oh, they're all starting to get canceled. And then, you know, even the biggest show, it was basically the only brand new game in the lineup. The only AAA fighting game title that's brand new for 2020. And yeah, Evo's the biggest chance to get that in front of an audience. Like, pretty much every game you can expect on Sunday Finals Day, 100,000 viewers or so. To lose out on that is certainly going to hurt the trajectory of this game.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of those kind of cases just across the board. It sucks. A lot of businesses, you know, that you just, it's like people that invested in the in you know, housing market prior to 2008. Just like, ugh.
Someone asked in chat if players like Just Wong and Infiltration will register for 15 games. I can tell you that as of right now, Justin Wong is going to register for 0 games because he has said he is not going to play in this online tournament.
Said he wants just like he said, make me a commentator, right?
Yeah. Which is sort of a good tie-in to the question of the day that we asked. Are you able to pull these up, Alon?
Hold on. Before we get to the question of the day, keep talking about Evo for a second.
Well, yeah. So that Evo wasn't the only tournament that had an announcement this week. CEO, we mentioned it last week that it was all but certain to happen on Friday. Friday came, and yes, CEO officially postponed to the second weekend in December. It is going to take place in Orlando. It's currently slated for December 11th through the 13th. He said, quote, "While we recognize that some states are slowly starting to open back up, CEO Gaming feels June will be too soon to ensure everyone's safety at our flagship event. We believe that hosting CEO 2020 during Florida's coolest season this December will allow us all to end 2020 on a positive note. Should the coronavirus pandemic situation not improve, CEO 2020 in December would be canceled without penalty to CEO Gaming or its registrants," end quote. So that at least lets people feel good about, you know, not having to worry about, oh, if it gets canceled, is CEO going to go under? Because it sounds like they've got some sort of financial security in terms of whether or not they have to run.
Okay. Now, before we move on, I'm going to do something slightly spontaneous here. And I don't know if this is working or not. I don't know what the fuck's about to happen, but it's going to be crazy either way. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to welcome a very special guest joining us here. Say hello to Efren.
Hey!
Hey!
Efren, say hello.
What the hell?
Oh, shit. I can't hear. Damn it. All right, hold on, Efren. All right, there we go. Say hello.
Hello. Check.
So now here's the problem. Here's the problem. And this is what's going to be kind of funny is the way I have this shit set up. And because I was not ready for this, Efren and John can't hear each other.
Oh, so I thought he was still muted.
So we're going to have to
translate. I had something I wanted to ask him today.
Okay, John has something to ask you.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm listening.
So
I hear Steve and Alana.
First of all,
John.
It is wonderful to have you. I'm so happy to see you.
It's wonderful to have you. Go on.
Okay. So, okay. Efren's gamer tag is El Lone Star Gamer. And I always thought that that was because of his Texas pride.
He's saying he know your gamer tag, Elone Star Gamer. He thought it was because of Texas pride.
Right, it is. But as I stumbled upon today,
what's happening?
Efren is a huge Star Wars fan, but in the movie parodying Star Wars, Spaceballs, there is a character played by Bill Pullman. Who actually looks...
No, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. No, keep going. So John is saying there in Spaceball, there's a character named... what's the character's
name,
John?
Lone Star. Yeah, his name is Lone Star.
Yeah, so does that have anything to do with your gamer tag?
And they look fairly similar.
Fighting games.
They are handsome in the same way.
So I named myself the Lone Star Gamer. It was for a class project.
Thank you!
Okay, so John was saying that you also look like the actor. So he thought that because you both look the same...
Bill Pullman.
Yeah, Bill Pullman. So John, he said no. He was covering fighting games in the state of Texas, and that's why his gamer tag is E Lone Star Gamer.
It's not E Lone Star Gamer. It's L Lone Star Gamer.
I'm sorry. It's L Lone Star Gamer. I apologize.
I know Efren.
As
know.
In the you thought, Lone Star Gamer.
You thought Efren was the first E boy?
Probably.
Man, I really wish I could hear John. That would be great.
If I have you both hearing each other, it's gonna be bad news bears. Unless, wait, maybe. Okay. Steve, interview Efren for a second while I try to figure this out.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
What
bud?
Is new? I am doing fantastic. You look great.
Hey, thanks. I'll take
What is new in the life of the world's first e-boy, apparently?
Bro, did you hear that they're trying to do Evo online?
I might have heard something about that. What's your thoughts on this?
It's a disaster. Like, there will be a day wherein we will say, man, remember when we used to be worried about lag in online tournaments? Isn't that a quaint old time? But now is not that time. There is still a huge issue in having lag, so it's going to be a disaster.
Now, do you think anything good will come? Like, if the experience is less than ideal, And it is, you know, it gets to top 8, it's on stream, and it is very obviously less than ideal. Do you think that will light any sort of fire under the developers to really focus on improving netcode for future games?
Oh, I broke it. Oh, fuck. Oh, wait, are you back? Are we back?
Oh, shit.
Hold on.
did you break them both?
Hold on. You message John, tell him to refresh his browser. I'll message Efren. Refresh.
Oh my god.
Your browser. Whoops. I'm trying to get this shit to work. There's Efren. Efren's back. Hold on. I gotta. It's happening again. Okay, wait. Okay, Efren, you're back. I believe.
Hello?
No?
Check.
There you are. Okay, Efren's back.
I done goofed?
No. Okay.
Did I mess it up?
You're back.
I don't hear anything.
So... Oh, no. Okay, wait, hold on. Okay, hold on.
Hey, wait. Hey, hold on. Sorry for derailing the last 30 minutes of the show. I heard you guys had a question of the day coming up.
Where's the file?
Okay. Can you still... Here.
I miss you guys.
Wait, hold on. Damn it.
Shit. How about now?
Whoops.
I asked Elon to call me in. Where's John?
John's back. Hold on. There's two of me.
It hurts. Steve, say hi.
Hi.
There's two of Steve.
Okay. Wait.
Oh, no.
I have no idea what's happening.
We're having
hey
fun.
Guys, so Steve, how have you been? You essential son of a bitch.
I'm not essential.
Okay, that's how we're essential. So I hear myself now. How about that?
Damn it.
John, can you hear me now?
Hold on.
Damn it, Alon.
Get for doing stuff.
Oh my god.
So, anyway, my daughter's almost 2. Update.
God damn.
I've been playing Tetris 99. I got to 5th place. It's my best placing. I got Final Fantasy 7 on the recommendation of our Discord. And it was fantastic. The game's great.
Refresh your browser, John.
Hey, John's back. I'm getting back. I'm getting back. Hold up.
Ryu Dragon, I have not. I'm still like running around doing little side quests with Tifa. I've played like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. But I'm really liking it.
Okay. I'm like one of the only people who does not play Final Fantasy Remake.
I played the original and I really liked it. No, I got the original. I was like, man, I love this. Hey, John, you're back.
Wait, hold on,
John, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Man, I just came in. Just shit all over John.
I can hear you.
Can you hear Efren?
No.
Okay, try it now.
Check.
Still can't hear Efren.
Fuck.
Just have Efren on. You only have like 13 minutes. Just have Efren take my spot and I'll just watch and be in the chat.
Sorry, guys. I just made you lose 10 viewers.
How about now?
Yeah, I can hear him now.
Hi, check.
Did I do it?
Hello. You did it.
I don't know. Did you do it?
Yes! All right. Yes,
I can't hear John.
We got it.
How about now?
Wait, you can't hear me?
John?
Hey, yes. John!
Hey, dude!
Sad.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I don't think I can hear
Bill
anybody else
Pullman,
now.
Bill Pullman, handsome ass son
hey,
of a
man,
bitch.
What's up? Dude, Bill Pullman's greatest moment is not Lone Star in Spaceballs. It's that... You know, it's underrated in the world of Braveheart, Mel Gibson, William Wallace, and all that, but his
well, it's not 4th of July, Independence Day speech when he's rallying the troops. That's shit gets me every time.
Yeah. It's an epic moment.
What's up with you, John? I really just came out and talked to you, John, and give you an update on the taxes and the W-9s that we're trying to get, or the 1099s.
So here's my situation. This is good. My girlfriend's aunt is offering to do our taxes for us. And so I'm like, oh, shit, cool. And she's also like very much her mother figure. So I'm like always wanting to impress, right? So I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And so like, I get all my tax stuff together, but I have to get one form from Efren from last year's Best of Five. And he's like, sorry, dude. Like,
I've been dragging my feet a little bit on that. I'm sorry, dude.
He's had red tape too from his tax guy and such. But anyways, it's been like 18 months and I still haven't gotten my last tax form. And it is what it is. But I mean, the deadline's been extended 3 months. It's all good. We're fine.
Well, I came on. I asked Lon, could I please come on just to give John an update, which is I did get word back from my tax guy. And he's like, yeah, you just need to do the thing. So I'm going to do the thing. And then the thing will be done.
Aw, I'm so excited for the thing. I want to get your thing.
That is dope.
Also, what's the thing from you?
I think.
Why can't I still hear it?
Why? I don't hear an echo. I do hear Alon, and I hear Steve, and...
Okay, how about now?
I hear...
Can you still hear me?
Now we're good.
Hey, I want to know about if in fact it's his girlfriend or his fiance.
Oh, fiance, sorry. Yeah.
You didn't see that? Boy. Of course I did. Commented on that shit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful moment. How's that coming along, John? I want to know how the soon-to-be-married life is going.
This is what it's like to get on the interviewed side of Efren, to be the interviewee. It's going well. My sister sent us a wedding planning book, and so Brittany has been digging into that, and we've been looking up venues in the area, and I have been trying to plan my bachelor party. So I've been kind of talking to my friends that I know are going to throw it and sort of planting seeds of like the sort of things I want to do. You know, probably some SoCal vacation because you can do everything. Yeah.
Step one, you're fucking up if you're doing the planning. Step two, what are they planning? What are you trying to get into?
Well, I think it's going
to
be
in trouble.
It's going to be no, dude. It's going to be. Here's what the thing is. There's like four or five dudes that'll be there. We all share a love for video games. We've all played through Halo together. So I'm hoping that we can have just like a Halo game night in our Airbnb near the beach. Have like a beach day. Have a day where we go to either Disneyland or Magic Mountain. And then like just whatever the hell we feel like. And like you're in SoCal, you have plenty of good places to eat, hikes you can do. If you want to go up to the mountain and snowboard, do that. But like I just want to have a chill ass weekend with the people that I enjoy hanging out with. Also, I guess you guys are invited now that you know about it.
Nah, I'm doing that shit. Fucking social distancing.
All right.
Okay. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Hey,
okay.
Elon.
Sweet. Yeah. Fucking, I did it. Okay. Great. Now. We have 10 minutes left. I would love to extend the show if we have the chance to, because now that we have Efren on, I want to go through our question of the day with Efren here.
Oh, cool.
Mostly to impress him for work tomorrow, because I got some shit did.
Oh, sick.
But
I think, yeah, Ultra Gen's starting out time tonight.
Okay, that's fine. We'll go just like a minute or two over, just while we have Efren here, because I really do want to do this question of the day. So,
right on.
Question of the day. We got a lot of responses. I have them all here, set up and ready to go. And Steve, you read them as always, but I'm going to put them up on the screen in a very fancy way. Here they are. First response. Fuck. There we go.
So the question of the day was, do you plan on entering the Evo 2020 online event? And we got a bunch of responses on this. We got new tech. New tech. Travis said, none of the games I play have acceptable netcode, especially for a global tournament. No thanks. Here, the question is it going to be region locked? Is it going to be, you know, one big tournament or several smaller tournaments? Do they build up to a bigger event? Who knows? A lot in the air today. That is still Travis. That is still Travis.
Triple Travis.
Wait for it.
Who's next?
Waiting.
Okay.
Travis.
Here we go. Good Normal says, I'm going to enter so I can make it out of pools at Evo when none of the other people in my pool show up.
That also happened in 2016.
Doesn't matter how you get out of pools. All that matters is you get there.
All right. Here's the next one.
Next one is from, Choss the Sauce, who says, "Hell nah, I'm trash, lol." Dude, this is the first, this is the time to play. You don't get better unless you try. The first step to being good is being bad. So I encourage you, give it a shot.
Absolutely.
Right. Next one.
Next one. That is from Q-Ball, who says, "I put down, I think I will, but it really depends on how the online event operates. Does the lineup change? Is the tournament split up by region? Is it even an open tournament? For all we know, it could be several exhibitions featuring the best players in the world." I saw a couple people throw that suggestion out there of maybe, you know, smaller invitationals as being more of a showcase instead of a bigger online, bigger open event. I'm not such a big fan of that as, you know, for one or two games, but I want whatever's going to happen to be an open event for everyone.
Cool. Y'all remember that one time I played against John online? Not at my house, John. But we played online. I was still on the show. It was Nikali v. T-Hawk. I squeaked out a fraudulent win there. So based on that, I don't think that an online tournament will be a good idea.
You beat me.
It's
going to
be
too
random. Yeah, well, I wasn't going to bring it up. But now that you mention it, I remember like it was yesterday. We're sitting on the couch, and it was
Grubhub. Grubhub was new. Mm-hmm. And it was so expensive.
It was like a regular $10 meal of takeout food from P. Terry's. Shout out, if you will. But it ended up being like $30 because we needed it now, and I'm not leaving.
Yeah. It was great.
It was a good time.
You know what's really quick aside? I've gotten like 17 different people hooked on Overcooked and Overcooked 2 because you showed me that game when on that trip. It was sick.
And John, if I may, it's never been quite the same. I've played with other people.
Spoiled you.
I miss you, buddy. We were on fire playing that Overcooked.
Dude, we got to get Overcooked 2. It's online.
I should try it.
Yeah. Okay, anyways, we only have like 4 minutes.
So. When's Overcooked Nationals? All right, Ryu Dragon asked us to not put his answer up, so we're going to put it up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind entering if I had a slight fighting chance, which isn't the case, so rip. Sorry, Steve, I took your spot. It's just like
that's okay.
Getting back on a bicycle, you know?
Dude, go for it. This is your moment, your time to shine.
Oh, I just missed it so much. Sorry, right. Ryu Dragon.
Next one.
Get wrecked.
Is that me,
this
Steve,
is still
or is you?
You. That's
go for it,
okay.
Efren.
TAR San Yasmi says, "At Best of Five show, I don't know if money is still on the line, but I can imagine the pros at least still entering. I don't think the random fan will, though. The only fighting game currently capable of running a worldwide tournament somewhat well is Killer Instinct." Yeah, you were talking about that earlier, Steve, right, with Waterhorse. I was actually there at that Killer Instinct World Cup in San Antonio. That was a fun vibe. And now I think there's like a Killer Instinct documentary coming out. Isn't Esteban working on something?
Sounds like it.
He's got something on the plate. I feel like the best thing they ever did was revealing the character patch notes live in front of the audience. So you got the reactions. I hope someone else does that because that was the greatest part of that weekend.
Man, that and also like having Keats and some of the devs like showing that off to the crowd was so fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, and they would explain like the why they did it and like what the balance or like what the philosophy behind the balancing was and like why this character has this and why it worked and why it was so strong and compared to other characters, but what was also weakest about it. Like that shit was fucking dope. I wish everybody would do that.
But just a funny little story here. I saw that Esteban was working on that Killer Instinct documentary, and I reached out to him. I'm like, dude, I have a ton of unused footage from the Killer Instinct World Cup. Do you want it? And he's like, yeah, great. That's awesome. So like, I blew off the dust of some old hard drives. I don't have it. It's gone. It's lost to the wind.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, I totally, and I haven't gone back to tell him because I'm too embarrassed that I actually can't find it anywhere and that I think I deleted it to make space on a hard drive like years ago.
Oh, man.
Fucked up.
Tax guy
maybe
has
it blew up along with our studio.
You got to get it from him.
Yeah, the tax guy has it. He's holding up.
Wait, whoops. Along our studio. All right, we got a couple more of these and not a lot of time. So let's get to it. Here's the next one from Turbo Sean.
Best of Five Show says, completely depends on what games are played. If it's 8 main games that were planned for the in-person event this year, I'd have to say no. Aside from Street Fighter V, none of these games have even remotely acceptable netcode. Oh, did y'all know that like, netcode's bad on some of these games? I don't know if you guys have brought that up on the show.
Nah.
No, actually, it is not very good.
Y'all should talk about that sometime. It's an irrelevant topic to the show and the audience, I think.
All right, let's rifle through it.
Okay, next one.
Ooh, this one is at Ace King Offsuit. Lots of unknowns, but I'd like to make an effort to enter Street Fighter V, if possible. Maybe Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, if it makes an unexpected return, since the game has great netcode. My biggest concern will likely be scheduling, having to ask my family to stay off streaming, etc., for whatever block of time. Can you imagine, like, having to be like, "Everybody, get the fuck off! I'm playing. My match is up."
Mod the meatloaf.
I mean, that's not outside of my experience. You know, if you grew up on the AOL discs, where if you picked up the phone for long enough, it would actually disconnect you.
I was there.
So it's just basically going back to those roots.
You just gave me a flashback to like spending the better part of a day slowly watching a download progress of the trailer for Phantom Menace. I think I might have told the story before on this show. It was a good time.
Efren, trailer was sick. Yesterday was the 4th. Where do you put Phantom Menace on your ranking of Star Wars films?
There's a whole lot. Are we sticking to the original 9 or the main 9?
Main 9.
I put it at... Okay, it's not better than any of the originals. It's not better than Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith. And it's probably not better... No, I'd put that at number 6. Number 1 being the best.
Wait, so the latest 3
all,
are
all the new 3 are worse than Phantom Menace.
Oh man, I'm
that
sorry.
Words. I haven't seen
Phantom Menace. I just love the Darth Maul fight. I think it makes it better than either the other prequels.
Well, then go watch Clone Wars because there's some sick ass Darth Maul action there.
You showed me a sick Darth Maul scene from Clone Wars with him and Obi-Wan when I was at your house. Dude, we got to do that again. But this time you come to my place and I'll get us expensive grub.
All right. Well,
we have a cassette.
There's some things, dude, there's some programs that we can do some watch alongs with.
Hey, if any of this shit that's interesting is on Amazon Prime, we can do it right here on this channel.
Shit. I don't know. Is it? Probably not Star Wars. Disney Plus has that locked up. But this is a fighting game podcast. I have been playing Street Fighter 4 online. There's still a very healthy scene on PlayStation 4, and I've been getting plenty of matches in with T-Hawk, and I even got a perfect on a cam the other day, and I was going to send it to my friend who's a cami main, but then I forgot to, and that's that story.
That's cool.
All right, we got two more.
So, all right, let's power through them.
All right. Steve, this is all you, buddy.
JSamF says, it would be great, but who wants to play against Wi-Fi warriors? Not this guy, referring to JSamF, and not necessarily me or Efren.
All right,
and then we close it off with Olong Johnson, who says, I'll purposefully disconnect my Ethernet and connect via tether to my mobile phone. I will be unstoppable. He is forever evil. He is forever evil, so that's very fitting.
All right, and that was our new question of the day. Watch this shit go away. Zoop.
Oh, that's so sick.
That's fancy.
I put that together right before the show, and I'm very happy it worked. unlike everything else on the show. But I do believe, unfortunately, that we are at time. We don't want to cut into Ultra Chen time too much. But before we go, any last words from anybody on the panel?
I miss you guys. You're doing a great job. I listened to last week's episode on the podcast. It's the first time I listened to it on Spotify, and I was really digging the conversation around the Nintendo and Smash Bros. And online and tournaments and all that. I mean, I know it's like a continuation of a conversation that's for a good reason ongoing this week, but I felt like you guys kind of broke out of the structure a little bit and we're just having a really interesting conversation, and it was entertaining. So I enjoyed it.
You didn't like our golden ticket conversation from last week?
I don't think I made it to that part. Was that in the first 30 minutes?
You missed out.
You should go back.
Okay. I'll have to go back and check it out then.
And we don't usually get the opportunity to do this, but right before Efren hopped on, he did subscribe. So let's all thank Efren in person with a big old clap.
22 months. 22 and, months, y'all. Yeah. What's up?
And that, that means main that squeeze. I'm going to be...
It's Steve is still the main squeeze.
Hedy Murphy, what was it?
What? Oh, Efren, you weren't here. Steve was sharing some of his childhood bully nicknames.
Yeah. All right. I will change Murphy. To Hedy Murphy next week if we get three subscribers. If we get three on next week's show. I will go.
Hedy Murphy.
Hedy Murphy. All right. Well, this has been Best of Five, a very special Best of Five. Apologies for the technical issues, but I think it was worth it to get Efren on here to join us for a little bit.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Alon, for accommodating, and thank you guys for letting me butt in, and keep doing a good job. I appreciate you guys.
For sure. This has been I'm Elon, special guest Efren. We got John Guerrero and Steve, Ace King, Main Squeeze, Offsuit Jurek. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Catch you on the flip side.
Good night, Canada.
And bye.